Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Please welcome accomplished pitcher and popular broadcaster, Steve Stone.
Yes.
Steve Stone.
The inning is over, I believe.
Are we talking faster?
I think so, yeah.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Just patience with Jake because Lang will have trouble throwing strikes. Especially if he goes to that curveball.
You think he likes hitting in this ballpark, Stoney?
Well, I would say 11 of his 12 home runs coming here. He shows you just how strong he is. I mean, he just reached down. That's not near as far as he can hit it. But he had enough to take it out. All he needed was a fly ball, and he got a four-bagger for it.
Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star.
Oh, I want to be a rock star.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Let's talk to Steve Stone, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stoney, it is me, Matt Spiegel, and Marshall Harris from CBS2 Chicago, who's in for Danny. How are you this afternoon, sir?
Everything's a whole lot better than last we spoke. The team picked a good time to win five in a row when Minnesota was losing five in a row, and so they find themselves 3.5 back. And I think that this is a pretty good place to be at this point, especially when you consider it was 9 back not too long ago.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. I'll take the opportunity to correct a stat that I had last hour. The White Sox in the last 30 days have the second best ERA in all of baseball behind the Houston Astros. In terms also of batting average against, 200, the lowest batting average against in all of MLB the last 30 days. We know the bullpen has been great. Has there been more cohesion from the starters, or just kind of everybody figuring it out on their own a little bit, other than Lance Lynn at the moment?
I just think that this team has kind of come together. Certainly the pitching staff has, and it starts with the starting rotation, who, even when they're not pitching as well as they would like, is carrying the game a little bit later in. And with Liam Hendricks back, then you can mix and match in that bullpen. But the job of Middleton and Santos and Kelly and Graveman and now Liam in that bullpen consistently, you can make everybody look really good if the bullpen never gives up any runs. And that's exactly what's happened with the Sox. That bullpen has been overwhelming.
It seems like we hold our breaths every time somebody has the appearance of an injury, Steve. How concerned are you with Eloy Jimenez kind of coming up, running down the first baseline last time out?
Well, I talked with Pedro before the game today, and he said that he feels that it's going to be a day-to-day situation, which is why they have not put him on the injured list, and he will be ready to go. I mean, we saw how important he is to this lineup with hitting that two-run home run in the first game. You know, he's devastating in the lineup. He wants to protect guys, make sure that the injury doesn't linger. But, you know, Eloy has been hurt a lot, and odds are overwhelming this will happen again. But if it's only a few days, if you can limit the amount of time of that injury, it's much better for the ball club. And I think that that's exactly what's happened with Eloy these days.
Looking at that lineup right now, what do you like and what are you kind of looking for to keep this going? I mean, they take 2 out of 3 in the Bronx. split the doubleheader, but just it seems like they've gotten enough timely hitting. I mean, whether it's dramatic at the end or just coming up with runs in the middle of the game off somebody else's bullpen.
Well, I think you saw the four home runs, and that's the way this team can be performing. Four home runs in that first game of the doubleheader, and I think this team has enough bangers to be able to hit home runs, but they also have to win games consistently when they don't hit the ball out of the ballpark, and I think lately they're doing that also. So, you know, look, there's still a very tough month of June, no doubt about it. They started, when they went to New York, they started on a stretch of 15 games against very good baseball teams. So far they've won two of those three, and the month of June so far has been really good, and we know this would be the pivotal month. So this team is starting to believe in itself, and hopefully they can continue. They can grow as a team. And, you know, what Pedro is looking for is more consistency. He said, you know, he said he has seen at times when this is a very tough baseball team. But what he would like to see is them become, on a daily basis, that same very tough baseball team.
Man. Steve, it's amazing. I mean, at 7-21, and as dark as it was, and so many people across the country, and certainly here, and color me guilty, just like taking out the knife and slashing away at the entire org and the entire team and everything like that, they're still right here. It's like the baseball season just messes with you, doesn't it? It's unbelievable. This sport and this season, it challenges you, if you ever say something like very, very strong early, we all can just end up looking like fools by the middle of June.
Well, we tried to caution that this entire season, if you remember some of our shows. Having been through 54 of these, I realized that in a very long year, you're going to have extreme ups and extreme downs. Just so happens that the Sox had that extreme down the first 28 games out of the chute. So you dig yourself in a hole, which you cannot extricate yourself from quickly. You have to just continue to battle. And, you know, we said it before, you can't really give up on this team because of the division they play in. And there's a very good chance that that the wild card is not coming out of the Central. But still, you know, you're looking at it and saying, okay, so in the why shouldn't it be me category, go position by position against every team in the Central, including your bullpen and your starting rotation. I defy you to find a team with more talent than this White Sox team. That being said, the team was not functioning as a team early. They are functioning as a team now. And going forward, you'd like to see this more and more, and hopefully that will be the case. By this, I mean, you take all of that talent and most of these positions and you say, can they perform at the top end of that scale? Because they're going to have to going forward. Now you find yourself 3.5 back, which coincidentally is exactly what this Miami team is chasing Atlanta. They're 3.5 back. They have the advantage of probably they'll be able to secure a wild card if they continue to play like they've been playing.
Yeah, it's they're a hell of a lot better than I expected in terms of certainly in terms of the standings. And you get to see Luis Ariz tonight, over 400. Will there be more people who hit like him around this league, Steve Stone?
I'd like to think so, Matt, but I don't think they're rushing to go out and hit 400. There's some guys that can combine that kind of contact with power, but those are few and far between. I mean, you see those guys, they don't come around too often. But Ariz has been an aberration from the time he started this because you could really never strike him out. And also, when you're trying to game plan against him, you have to game plan the whole field because he's not just one hitter. If you get him out one way, he's smart enough to be able to adjust to that. And that's the reason why he is where he is at this point. So, look, Minnesota knew they gave up a lot of talent going Miami's way, but Lopez coming back is a really good starting pitcher, and they needed starting pitchers. So this is one of those trades that really benefited both sides, and Miami is certainly feeling the effects with Ariz, but their pitching has been outstanding also. I mean, this is a team that can really throw the baseball, and so this will be an interesting series. I like it. They got a young, hard-throwing kid on the mound tonight, Perez, who is 6'8", he's 20 years old. His ERA is 2.25, and nobody seems to hit him because that fastball is upper 90s with a plus change and plus slider. It'll be nice to see him, but this is the kind of development that the Miami ball club has to depend on because they don't get the big name free agents, and they usually don't trade for a guy that costs some money.
Well, you mentioned Luis Arraez now out of the division. I'm sure the Sox are happy that they don't have to see him as many times as they used to. But back to this division in general, because you mentioned, you know, where they are in the standings is a product of where everyone else in the division. You talked about extreme lows, extreme highs. I think this might be the worst division of all time since we've gone to this specific era. How do you view this division as a whole? Like, is it going to only take 83 wins, to win this division?
Well, nobody can really look down the road and tell you how many wins exactly, but I think it's kind of a premature statement to say it's the worst division ever.
Well,
I mean, the Cardinals in 2006 won 83 games. They also happened to win the World Series. Sometimes 83 games is enough. Sometimes 85 games. But you can't really say at this point, unless you can tell me the additions that Minnesota and Cleveland are going to make to their team by the trade deadline, which is going to sell, which is going to buy, how much salary they're going to take out, who are they going to trade, who are they not going to trade. Nobody really knows heading into the trade deadline. And so consequently, you can't really predict the amount of wins. But yes, it's going to be the team that wins the division is most likely going to have less wins than any other division winner in baseball. That is a for sure.
Steve, right now, I think three of the bottom four teams in OPS in MLB are in this division. So, yeah, it's extremely, extremely rough. I wanted to ask you about Sebi Zavala, who I'm just so impressed by. And, you know, the way that Giolito talks about him, the way that he goes about it, is he carving out an MLB career as a backup catcher at the least, and maybe at the most too, but like as a defensive minded catcher, are we looking at a guy who's buying himself, you know, the next 6-7 years in MLB, the way the game is going and defense is being valued?
Well, being a former pitcher, I really, really enamored with defensive minded catchers, especially guys like Sebi who worked really hard to get here, battled his way through injury. I mean, he was signed playing with a broken thumb. The White Sox saw something in him, I think his toughness. But also they realized that he was pretty smart as far as game planning is concerned. And I think that's going to be what he's going to leave this organization with. And I'm not saying he's going to leave anytime soon, but I'm saying the impression this year is that this is a take-charge guy who will game plan with the best of them, with his pitcher, to see how he can get the most out of his pitcher on a game-by-game basis. And I think the pitching staff is very comfortable with him. And his lot is yet to be determined because, as we see, there are times when he can really put a charge into the ball. He's really strong. And all you have to do if you're a backup catcher is, number one, you have to be able to catch really well, block pitches, throw out base runners, and game plan, and hit the occasional home run. I think Sebi falls into that category, and I think regardless of what he's carving out, I think we see a major league player. It's just a question of will it be as a starter at times or as a backup? Nobody really knows at this point.
Sebi Zavala has one former big leaguer's uniform number tattooed on his body. I read this the other day. Do you know who it is, Steve?
Tony Gwynn.
You got it. It's Tony Gwynn, who was his manager at San Diego State. And while Sebi was rehabbing, he refused to leave the dugout. He was hurt, but he was just always there, as James Fegan wrote, in the San Diego State dugout, trying to learn as much as he could from Tony Gwynn. That's a pretty good choice by him as a college player, isn't it?
Well, he had access to Tony in that situation, and Tony was one of the best hitters I ever saw. In fact, one of the best hitters that anybody ever saw. So if you get a chance to pick his brain, and there's no better thing than to be able to sit next to him in a dugout, you should be able to do that. And that is a lesson for whether you're a young professional or a young baseball player of any kind. Ask as many questions as you can of as many people as you can. And when you find somebody who's actually accomplished something in this game, ask him everything you can ask him, because if he tells you just one sentence that you've never heard before, you become a better player. And I think that communication, especially outside of a locker room, the communication with people who have done it in this game, is essential. And that's one of the great and gratifying stories of Jim Thome going to be able to coach his son in high school.
Yeah.
Is because that whole team benefits having Jim Thome around, and he will share his knowledge with anybody. And he's exactly where he needs to be at this point, where he can shape some young minds and teach him a little bit about the game that all of us love truly. And that's a good thing. And so, yeah, we need more communication We need to ask more questions, and we need to be open to the input we get, because, again, you try every day to make yourself a better player or a better person or a better worker, whatever the case may be. And any way you can find to do that is a good thing.
You know, one of my absolute favorite things about the game is this kind of generational thing where, like, an older player might tell you some stuff, and then if you're lucky, you get to be the older player later in your career sharing that. Can you give us one older pitcher who was good to you and taught you some stuff, and then I'll ask you for somebody younger who maybe you passed some things on to towards the end. But give me the older guy first, if you would.
Well, there's a couple of older guys. One was Jim Hickman. You might remember him with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the Cubs, he said to me, remember one thing as you're in baseball. And I said, what? He said, when the regular players can't do it, they send out the extra men. And I've remembered that because, you know, you can't really dispatch the regular players. The extra men will go as you tinker around the edges. I remember that.
Hmm.
And I also remember you remember a left-handed pitcher by the name of Steve Hamilton?
I don't, but I'll look him up as you tell me.
Well, Steve Hamilton was a situational left-hander before there really was situational left-handers, and had this, he had broken his finger as a basketball player, went on to coach baseball at Morehead State. And he was a really smart guy, and he was my teammate with the Giants. And I remember the manager telling us, hey, it's 25 guys here. There's no rookies. There's no veterans. If you have anything to say, just say it. And so there was a meeting, and I didn't agree with a couple of things the manager was saying, even though it was my first year. And I said to Steve, why don't I mention something here? And he said, no, be quiet, be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And I said, okay. And then we went out to the field. And I said to Steve, I thought this was 25 guys, you know, should say. He said, remember something in baseball, Steve. You're a very young player. When the older players are talking, keep your mouth shut. I said, but that wasn't the message before. He said, I know the message before. I'm just telling you what you should do going forward. So there were a couple of things that I was reminded by players early, and things that I continued to think about as I aged through the game.
And how about once you were an elder statement of sorts, elder statesman of sorts, who's a young player who was receptive to some stuff that you had to offer?
Well, I've had maybe five guys in my long career in this game come up to me as pitchers in the game saying, is there something I'm missing or a specific question, whatever. One of them was Rick Sutcliffe, ironically. And it was after the 84 season where he won the Cy Young Award. And he asked me if he could take me to lunch. And I said, of course. And so we were sitting there and he said, what's the biggest thing I need to know about the year after you win the Cy Young Award? Because I know you won it in 80. And what happened the next year? What should I be on guard against? And I said, Rick, all that momentum you had, and the case of Rick, he was 16-1 when he got traded from Cleveland to the Cubs, 16-1, won the Cy Young Award. And I said, all that momentum, all that inertia, everything you did to keep that ball rolling, I said, they wipe everything away. Every stat you had, all the great things you did to win that award, they wipe it away. And it's a psychological endeavor to get it back again, to replicate that feeling of going out there every day and not thinking you're going to win, not expecting to win, but knowing you're going to win. And if you can replicate that feeling of knowing you're going to win each and every time, you're going to be fine in 85. And then, of course, he got hurt in 85 and later was second to Cy Young Award in 89. So there was that time. And there was some other times that I talked with some younger guys and try to impart to them things that had been imparted to me. And, you know, you have to pass it on. If you have it, you have to pass it on. But I always felt the best way to do it is if somebody came up to you to ask for advice, but they don't do that too often.
Steve Stone, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care. I'll talk to you.
Yeah,
bye, guys.
Good. See you later. That's Steve Stone right there on the hotline, the Scores baseball expert.
That was a great question that Rick Sutcliffe had. And just try, I get it. You're trying to like keep it going.
I just won the Cy Young. What am I looking at here? What do I got to deal with? To that point, I saw this today. Here are the ERA leaders from last year and what their ERAs are now this year. Okay? Justin Verlander, his ERA right now, 4.85. Julio Urias, who's almost coming back for the Dodgers, his ERA, 4.39. Dylan Cease, 4.63.
Yeah.
Sandy Alcantara, who pitches tomorrow for the Marlins, 5.07. And Alek Manoah of the Toronto Blue Jays, 6.36. And he just got sent down to the instructional complex.
Oh, all the way to the bat. Send him to the bottom.
They sent him to the very bottom to just go work on some stuff.
Let's get those mechanics back in order.
They don't want him to pitch in games. They're like, could you go to the instructional complex so we can work on you being good again?
It's like, please? We're going to keep you on the side because we don't want you to be our main course.
How about that, man? How about last year's? And I just retweeted it right now at Matt Spiegel 670. How about the last year's ERA leaders are all having a rough, rough go? This game is cruel.
Cease pitches tonight, I believe.
I think it is Cease tonight.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
So,
it's Cease against Yuri Perez, who is through five innings of shutout ball, both his last two times out for the Marlins. Very good young pitcher.
The Marlins are good. I need people to understand that.
I don't like it.
You don't like that the Marlins are good?
I don't. They play far away. They play in a stupid stadium. I didn't. That whole division is filled with teams I find more interesting. I don't like it.
That's fair.
Get away.
Your reasoning behind it is fair. Look, Luis Arraez, I'm watching. I remember he went 0-2, not the last game, but the game before. He was 0-2, and his batting average fell like 391. I was like, I guess 400's fading away. Yeah. Next thing I know, he got two hits in his next two at-bats, and so he was back over 400. And then he went 2-for-4. Look, when you go 1-for-3 and your batting average goes down, that's how you know you're doing some things.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true. He's Marshall Harris. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is Parkins and Spiegel on the score. The guy who put the deal together.
Oh, my goodness.
Seems to be kind of crazy. Let's hear from him in a moment, shall we?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It is 670 The Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Mango.
Afternoons on The Score.
Man, What a crazy and dispiriting story. The PGA Tour taking all the money from the Saudis has been.
It's not dispiriting for the PGA Tour members, I guess.
Well, some of them I think it was, but in the long run, it won't be.
Right, because cash.
Dude, so much cash. I've been reading about this deal a little bit. So the Saudi fund that they're using, the PIF fund.
Public Investment Fund, yep.
Yeah. Do you know how big it is?
$720 billion. That's with a B, not an M.
$720 billion. And the guy who put the deal together, this guy, Jimmy Dunn, he is a member of the Tour Policy Board, who said to Jay Monahan, the head of the PGA Tour, we just got to find the right person to talk to. What do they want? What are they actually interested in? So we called up this dude, Yasir Al-Ramayan, who is the governor of the Saudis PIF, and talked with him and put together the deal. And we're going to play you about 40 seconds of what Jimmy Dunn had to say. And once we hear what he had to say, it's going to distract from the entire thing. So let's talk a little bit first, shall we?
Yeah.
Here's the parameters of the deal, as Jimmy Dunn told Sports Illustrated. It's still going to be called the PGA Tour, right? The PIF, the fund, is not actually contributing anything directly to the PGA Tour, its players. Instead, they get, quote, right of first refusal as the Tour's investment partner through a new company the Tour is creating. So basically, the Tour is going to go and decide what they want to do. Then they're going to go to the PIF and say, hey, we want to do this thing. We want to buy Pebble Beach, or we want to put on this and we need this amount of money. And then the PIF is going to go, okay, here you go.
Here's your blank check.
Go ahead and greenlight whatever the hell they want.
Because we have $720 billion.
So this is why the PGA guys are so excited that Jay Monahan and others, they're still in charge of everything.
Exactly.
Including the fate of LIV Golf, whether to let those golfers back onto the tour in full, how to penalize them and make sure that the guys who stayed get a little more than the guys who come back, and there's various ways they could do that. And all the Saudis are going to do is give them all the money in the world. They don't really have any power implicitly to tell them what to do.
The Saudis wanted to be in the game, and that's why they created LIV Golf. But now they're like, oh, we got a shortcut to being in the game because now we're directly connected with the PGA Tour through this new company that they're creating.
Screw LIV Golf. They don't care what happens to that, and they don't have to try and make it work.
And they don't care about the money they already gave up because, again, $720 billion.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Like, just this is like... Boy, you know, I'm a company that needs water. What I really need is water. And I don't know exactly how much I need, but I know I'm going to need water. Is there a hose that never stops running that I can have access? Oh, right over there. Can I just...
It's labeled PIF. The hose is labeled PIF
on the hose. And you are a desert, and you're like, all right, let me just
and
get
that
hose.
And you are no longer a desert.
No longer, because the hose never freaking stops. Jimmy Dunn worked in the World Trade Center when 9/11 happened. He happened to not be in the building. He survived because he happened to be out of his office in the South Tower that day trying to qualify for a golf tournament. So that's how close he is to what actually happened. And he spoke about his connection to it and how he feels about his new Saudi partners. And this is from yesterday.
And I have had conversations with a lot of very knowledgeable people that the people I'm dealing with had nothing to do with it. And if someone can find someone that unequivocally was involved with it, I'll kill him myself. We don't have to wait around. But the reality of it is that we need to come together as a people, even our country. We have too much divisiveness. And at some point in time, whether it's our view of the Japanese or our view of the Germans, there is a point in time where you have to say, let's try to get to know one another. Let's try to understand.
Oh, my God. That's it. That's the goal of sports washing right there, to have a powerful person speak into a television and say, Let's all come together. And frankly, it's the same version of what Bryson DeChambeau said to CNN the other day.
Right.
Right? This is what they want. They want people to hear the Saudis aren't so bad.
Look at them giving us all this money, helping to grow the game of golf globally.
Wow.
That's what it is.
So, man, it works.
But none of this is surprising.
I know, but it's like, it's just so freaking gross. And the fact that it works, and that is a crazy person, and he said he's going to kill them himself. Jackass.
Listen, I get what you're saying. I get what you're feeling, even. But the reality is the reality, man. So it's like, this is what it is.
Oh, dude. But he's using, like, kumbaya, come together. The spirit of togetherness.
Yeah, it's
to rationalize the use of the money hose.
It's come together because I want y'all to be where I am, which is on top of the world.
Peoria Matt says, I've often said the one thing that will bring the country together is a golf tour funded by Saudi Arabia.
And even better than that, it's not even just like come together. It's like,
my God.
The way he's talking about divisiveness, usually people who are calling for an end to divisiveness have the upper hand and are they have what they want. So that's why they want no one to argue with what they have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We made the deal now.
So let's stop all this divisiveness.
Does that
Everything's
fit?
Good.
Does that fit the profile of people saying, can we stop fighting?
Yeah, I'm on top. Let's stop fighting.
Not always. Sometimes people who are getting their butt kicked are saying it. I think of Rodney King. Why can't we all get along? That's a very different kind
That's
of profile.
That's a very different type of...
It's a very different thing.
But you know what I mean. I'm talking about people in power,
That's
man.
Why it's so gross that this guy is saying that kind of thing.
You call it gross.
Call it gross.
Listen, you call it gross, but above gross as a descriptor, I call it SOP, Standard Operating Procedure. That's what I call it.
Is that above gross?
Yeah.
Is that above it?
Because when you call something gross... I think it makes this idea that it's not right and it should change, but when you understand that understand when I'm calling it standard operating procedure over top of that, understand this is the status quo. As gross as you may think it is, this is the status quo.
But should that change? I'm not saying it will change.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But will it? No, because it's standard operating procedure.
So do we stop calling it out? Do we stop pointing it out?
Call it out. Call it out, but also call out the fact that it is standard operating procedure. And understand this is the way the world has been going. And of course, I would love it to change.
Marshall, there's a deeper philosophical issue here for you and me to tackle, which is that it's hard out here for an optimist. So what are you supposed to do?
Oh, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm a pragmatist. So you're talking to the wrong person. Mm. I believe in people, but at the same time, I know people are going to people.
Mm.
I think people... As long as they can relate to something going on, we'll have sympathy and all the feels. But if they feel like that's not my problem, then I can't do anything about that. Then they're going to continue doing what they've been doing since the beginning of time.
So I mean, that's what it is. It's my own deeper psychological.
I wish
issue
more
here.
People thought like you, but guess what? They don't.
Yeah. No. It's like a texter says. Speaking historically, we came together, Jimmy, with the Germans and the Japanese. When we demolish their imperialist and totalitarian regimes and force them to become democracies.
Yeah.
That's when we came together, when we beat them.
Yeah. I'm old enough to remember when the Berlin Wall fell. Like I can go way back on this stuff. Like stuff just in my lifetime.
Yeah. Jimmy wants me to forgive the Germans. I'm still struggling with that one, frankly. Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic. We'll talk Bulls.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NBA Finals with it next on 670 The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on The Score.
2 30-point triple-doubles here in Game 3 for the Nuggets. What an answer after the disappointing loss in Game 2 at home. The Denver Nuggets win their 4th straight road game in these playoffs and regain home court advantage as the Miami Heat have now lost their last 3 home games in the playoffs. Games 3, Game 6 against Boston, and now Game 3 against the Denver Nuggets.
Final call of the NBA Finals. Game 4 is tonight. Let's talk some NBA Finals and let's talk some Bulls with Darnell Mayberry, the excellent writer for The Athletic, who joins us on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Darnell, hello. You're on with me, Matt Spiegel, and with Marshall Harris from CBS2 Chicago. How are you?
Never better, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're holding it down, man. Just it's a Friday. The weather's beautiful outside. I'm about to take a nice walk. Maybe on the river walk. You know, I'm just out here living.
Look at that. Marshall is doing it. He's getting it done. Marshall, am I right in saying what you said to me on the break? You think Denver is going to get this thing on lockdown tonight? Darnell, I'm taking the Heat. I've seen them all playoffs long rise up and do things they shouldn't. So I'm picking them to do it one more time. Where are you on this series? Oh, we just lost Darnell. He was that disinterested.
Yeah, well,
my God.
I want to clarify.
I thought we were better than that. Yeah.
I want to clarify
me putting words in your mouth?
No.
I agree.
No. I asked the question, is Denver putting this thing on lock
That's
tonight?
That's true, and I assumed that was.
And no, I picked Miami to win the series.
You did?
Because I want Miami to win the series. Not because, like, and like you said, I've seen what, ever since the Bulls were up with 3 minutes to play in the play-in game, and Miami's like, okay, that was cute. We're done. I've been like, you know what? This Miami team's got some fire to it. And then what they did to this to the Bucks in round one, I was like,
yeah,
they could go someplace. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the Knicks, I was not ever really worried about the Knicks. And so then it was just like, can they outplay the Celtics? And the Joe Mazzulla,
I have no idea why he's going back. I don't get it. When the dude keeps saying, when he keeps saying, I didn't have my team ready to play. And then they're like, okay, come on back and give this one more shot.
He's Brad Stevens' guy, number one. Number two, he lost 2 of his assistants and didn't get replaced with, like, veteran assistants. So he was doing way too much.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Darnell Mayberry. Darnell, you feel like the Heat can rise up and even this thing up tonight? Where are you on this series?
I mean, I think Denver's going to win the series. They're just the more talented team. If Miami does win tonight, it'll definitely make it interesting. But Denver getting home court advantage back, I mean, I think that was huge for them to get that first one in Miami. I think that puts all the pressure now on Miami to get this one. And with the talent that Denver has and the way that Miami has to defend to just simply have a chance to beat Denver, I mean, it's going to take an incredible effort. So if I had to put my money on it, I put it on Denver.
As we watch the Nuggets, Arturis Karnišovas was their general manager underneath the president of basketball operations, but he gets a lot of credit for the drafting of Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Is this the team that he envisioned, the way that Denver's playing? And did he envision the Bulls with Nikola Vucevic as Denver is playing? You know what I mean? Like, it is. How much truth is there to that line of thinking?
I think that's a stretch just because there's no other Nikola Jokic on the planet. And it would be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to replicate what Jokic brings to that Nuggets team. And Vucevic, as good as he is, he's obviously not nearly the caliber of player that Jokic is. But I do know for a fact that the front office loves the things that Vucevic brings.
Mm-hmm.
Do we lose him again?
Possibly, or maybe it's just a moment. I think we have indeed lost him again, right? Pick him up there, see if he's there. We do know for a fact that the front office loves the things that Vucevic brings. Here's what I'm wondering, Marshall, and we'll try to reconnect with Darnell. Does AK want to run this team through Nikola Vucevic? Does he want Billy to run this team through Nikola Vucevic? Then why don't they? Because they don't.
Because they don't when you actually watch the games,
when
is what you're saying.
When they actually play, they don't actually do that.
Well, here's the thing. I know that they do. They have to, because otherwise you would have traded him at the deadline last year rather than say we're going to invest more money in him going forward in the future. Unless they got a plan that I don't know about. The Lonzo Ball thing is the Lonzo Ball thing.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but like running it through, like running their offense in the half court the way that Denver does.
I feel like they would have run things a little bit differently to this point if Ball had been healthy. But yeah. I don't know. I just know that this is bad. Where we are with the Bulls is bad.
It is bad. Let's cut to that chase with Darnell. Does AK want Billy Donovan to be running the offense through Vucevic? Like with him, I know it's not going to be as good as Jokic, but do they want him to post up more? Does AK want that? Is that something he wants, and why isn't it happening often if it is what he wants?
Yeah, I think they definitely see the value in it, and they can benefit from it a good amount, but you still have DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine who need their touches, and that's the biggest problem. And not a problem in a bad way. It's the biggest dilemma. That you have to figure out a way to keep DeRozan and LaVine involved, and that's going to naturally limit the touches and opportunities for Vucevic.
So then here's the question. Here's another question in terms of the Denver model. The continuity of it. Is there any chance that he sees that Denver team that he put together pretty much stay together? A couple of changes on the fringe, but he got his stars together and then ran it back again. And again and again in Denver, and here they are on the precipice of winning a title. Does that embolden his idea in terms of continuity at all?
I think the more alarming or concerning situation is the Miami Heat making it to the finals from the play-in. Hmm. And if Arturas looks at that and says, hey, we had an opportunity, that would concern me more than what Denver's doing. So.
You know what? You're absolutely right, Darnell, because I could completely see. I mean, he hasn't said anything's wrong for the last two seasons. Like, you know, Lonzo Ball got hurt. We didn't know he was going to get hurt. We didn't know he was going to need surgery. We didn't know he was going to recover from surgery. Like, you see what I'm saying? Where I'm going with this? Like, he's living in a reality that the fan base, and I guess us as media members, are not living in. And what Miami is doing to this point has proven like, hey, we were right there. What are you talking about? That's crazy, though.
And then you also have to look at the ages of the Bulls players compared to Jamal Murray and Jokic.
Yes, way older. Jr.
I mean, the runway for this Bulls roster is just not very long, and you have to at some point say DeMar DeRozan is not going to continue to play at an all-NBA-type level. Zach LaVine, you want to think that he's going to continue to develop, but you know the way he ended that play-in game in Miami makes you cringe a little bit. And then you got to hope for Patrick Williams and the Kobe Whites of the world to develop. And so there's a lot of ifs with this roster.
So does it make the most sense to move DeMar to also change up the mix and see if you can run more through Vooch or let Vooch and Zach have more of a two-man game? Is that the thing that makes the most sense schematically this offseason?
Schematically, yes, but I don't know if it's the wisest thing because DeMar DeRozan is still the best player and he's the most reliable player. And so when you remove him from the equation, then what are you left with? And go back to what I just said about LaVine at the end, those last 2 minutes against Miami in that play-in game. That's not what you want from your star player in the moments that matter the most. And so you're trusting DeMar DeRozan to deliver in those moments. And if you don't have him, then your team is going to be in trouble if you don't have a guy like him.
Darnell, I'll be surprised if Lonzo Ball plays another game for the Bulls or at this point, anyone, just the way things have gone. There's guys out there, though, that can be had, perhaps. You've got, you know, Derrick Rose. I mean, he's been a Bull before, but more more interesting for me because of the timetable. Chris Paul, is that a thing? Could that be a possibility for the Bulls?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up with the Lakers. And I feel like everyone sort of in the industry is leaning toward the Lakers with where Chris Paul is going to end up. If he ends up in Chicago, I think it'll be a great fit. I covered Chris Paul his first 2 years in the league back when he was in Oklahoma City. People forget that that's where his first 2 years were due to Hurricane Katrina, forcing them to relocate out of New Orleans. And so I go back with Chris Paul a long way, and I understand people don't like certain things about the way, you know, he probably plays at times, but he is still one of the best point guards in the history of this game. And he can come in here and organize this offense and orchestrate it in a way that no one has since Derrick Rose. So I think it'd be a great fit if they can get him. I don't think they can get him.
Yeah, you know, we might have to tap back into that later in the offseason, that those deep roots you have with Chris Paul. That's interesting, because it's something to think about deeply, and frankly, from my perspective, hope for, even if it is not going to happen. Darnell, thanks for joining us on a Friday afternoon, man. Have a wonderful weekend, okay?
You do the same. Take care.
As Darnell Mayberry joining us right there on 670 The Score. One more hour of Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score. Later on tonight, the Cubs continue their road trip with the series opener in San Francisco. Pregame begins at 8:40 with first pitch at 9:15 here on The Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. When we come back, how do you guys feel about buying stock in specific human beings? I'll explain in a moment on 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.